Final 30 minutes of the program here, leading you up until coverage of Thursday Night Football. Should be a really, really good game. Cowboys and Lions fighting for a playoff spot. Can't wait to get home and settle in and catch that one. But plenty to do before we get there. Like right now when we head out to the WadeFort.com hotline, welcome in our good buddy Torrey McElhaney, senior reporter, writer for AtlantaFalcons.com. Torrey, I think the most pressing question right now is, what is the status of Drake London? How has he been progressing?
Yeah, so as far as Drake goes, I know that Raheem Morris said earlier in the week on Monday when he was speaking to media that Drake certainly has a chance to play this weekend, but over the last 2 days of practice, he hasn't been out doing his normal reps. He was a non-participant on Wednesday and Thursday. We'll know a lot more tomorrow, but considering he hasn't taken any reps at all with Kirk Cousins over the last couple of weeks and hasn't been out at practice since he suffered that PCL sprain, I worry about where we're at now, where you would see him potentially be up on Sunday. But I think it's still up in the air. It's still a possibility. But the fact that we haven't seen him practice for 2 days, I think it the writing seems to be on the wall a little bit.
How surprised were you versus the Jets that, given the state of the wide receiver room, that both Kadarius Hodge and Casey Washington didn't suit up?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. It's why I asked Raheem Morris about it on Monday. I presented the question of, like, these are two guys who have been very important to your depth. And over the last couple of years, you have free agency capital, draft capital in these two guys. And they were healthy scratches. I mean, Casey Washington has been a healthy scratch for the last 2 weeks now. Kadarius Hodge just this past week. And his response was that it was a performance-based decision, and that they felt like they were getting more potentially from some other guys who they ultimately decided to have up on game day last week. It could change this weekend, but the fact that it's now been – the fact that you had your number one guy in Drake London, who's been out for 2 weeks with an injury – Darnell Mooney, we know, has not been producing to the level that we saw him last year. You no longer have Ray McLeod on this roster at all. The fact that all of those things happen, and then kind of your fourth, fifth, sixth-ish guy in Kadarius Hodge and Casey Washington are healthy scratches, I just think it doesn't bode well for a receiver room that I think you have to kind of see what you're going to do in the offseason about retooling it potentially around Drake London. I think that's kind of where I sit right now if I'm looking at this group.
Another week, unfortunately, of massive, unacceptable special teams blunders. But Raheem did come out and support Marquise Williams and his staff. Are you surprised after the latest set of circumstances that was the tack taken?
I don't think so. I think that when Raheem Morris was asked, you know, point blank about, you know, comparing the Ike Hilliard firing to what all of the questions regarding Marquise Williams is he said that it was a very different set of circumstances, that yes, that performance, it is a performance-based decision, but that he mentioned something about communication being better. And he said communication with him and Marquise, communication with Marquise and the players that he oversees was in a much better place than what it potentially was when we saw the final days of Ike Hilliard's tenure here. So that's kind of what Raheem said in response to that question. And I think for that reason, it's why I'm not necessarily surprised that there wasn't a different decision made.
When it comes to the state of the wide receiver and the tight end room, Kyle Pitts obviously leading the way last week. With Kirk Cousins seemingly coming online, do you feel like that could be something that could be seen by Zach Robinson and company as a repeatable formula, especially with Drake London projected to maybe miss at least another week?
I think it has to, right? Like, I think that if your receiver room is kind of down and out a little bit, like, you need other avenues of which to you know, you need other avenues. And Kyle Pitts is kind of the number one in the pass game. Like, that's kind of what your number one would look like. And, you know, you use Bijan Robinson and in different ways. And but I think about this game coming up against the Seattle Seahawks, and this is the best, one of the best run defenses in all of the NFL right now. What they're doing in terms of stopping the run over the course of, you know, 14 weeks of a season, it has just been very up there. I mean, the top three in the league in a couple different categories. So you go into this game knowing that it's going to be probably tough sledding running the ball with Bijan Robinson. So you got to get some of these receiver options ready to go. And that includes absolutely Kyle Pitts. And you saw what he did last week. I think had 82 receiving yards last week. And you're going to want to continue to see that level of output and production from the connection between Kirk Cousins and Kyle Pitts, especially if Drake London is not going to be out there on Sunday.
Talking all things Falcons and Seahawks with our good buddy Tori McElhaney. Make sure you check her out at AtlantaFalcons.com. Speaking of Kirk, it seems like, I think to much of our surprise, based off of the way that he looked versus the Dolphins and his some of his relief appearances this season, that the more time he's gotten to shake off the rust, the better he's looked, especially last week, I thought was the high watermark of this season by far. Are you surprised by that, or was it seen throughout internal discussions that they still believe that Kirk has a little bit more magic left in him?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a guy who has, you know, over a decade's worth of starting experience in the league. Like, I think that he was in very weird and different circumstances than he's ever been in coming off of the Achilles injury last year. And now we find out more information just about kind of like why the Falcons made certain decisions they did in terms of scheme and pistol versus under center. And I do think that we are seeing Kirk Cousins be more in form with what he was potentially his last couple of years at Minnesota when he was fully healthy. So I absolutely think that that plays into it and into the decision-making, into the level of which we see Kirk Cousins playing. But I also think that, I mean, again, he's a veteran in this league and he's seen all of it. I do think that when I look at the last couple of games in that Jets game, specifically the end of the game, that those last 2 minutes drives that the Falcons had, I felt like Kirk Cousins was putting the ball in receivers' hands. He was making the right decisions. He was making the right throws. And it's not really, I don't put it on him that those balls weren't caught. And I think it's why, even going back to the very first topic of what we were talking about, is like the Falcons need more from this receiver core. And I do think that Kirk Cousins and what we saw him do and try and get the ball in the hands of his playmakers in the 2 minute drill last week, that was evident that Kirk is trying to do that, but it didn't, the connection wasn't ultimately there. But I don't put that at the feet of Kirk Cousins based on what we saw last week.
What do you make of sort of the confounding situation with the defense where they have really good sack numbers? They're top five in the NFL. They play really good for the majority of the games, but it just seems like, Tori, that this has been a bugaboo, not just this season, but the last few, that when it comes down to crunch time, the defense isn't able to make the key stop at the end of games that they need to close out the deal. We know that they've had very little luck in 5-1-score games this year.
Yeah, it's actually something that Jesse Bates was asked about today in his press conference. It's about, like, why can't that the defense kind of get over the hump in that way? And he kind of didn't really know either, because we have, to your point, like, we have seen this defense play very, very well at times. And we've even seen them when the time is, like, when it matters the most that they make a play, we've seen them make a play. But for some reason recently, that's not been the case. And Jesse Bates kind of said, you know, I don't know if it's because you have young guys going through some things for the first time and you have new guys playing with each other and you're trying to figure each other out. He's like, I don't really know exactly what the cause of this is, but it is something that I feel confident in the defense being able to turn that performance around. It's interesting because Will McFadden, who's my podcast partner and editor of our site, we were talking not too long ago just about, like, sometimes it really does feel like the defense particularly will play really, really good sound ball for 80% of the game, but then there's this 20% where the mistakes or the miscues or the scrambles that they allow a quarterback to make, like, become super detrimental to the overall scope of the final score. And it's like, sometimes you feel that way about the team entirely. And I think it's a kind of a microcosm of where this team is and why they can't ultimately get to the point of holding on to leads and then surpassing and getting to a win at the end of the game.
Before I let you go, what did you make of the comments made by Zach Robinson and Raheem Morris about using Kirk Cousins more under center as opposed to Michael Penix staying in the pistol?
Yeah, I think, to me, like, actions speak louder than words, but words can help us kind of find the middle ground of what it means. I think the fact that the whole pistol under center conversation, we know that Kirk Cousins is an under center play action guy. Like, we saw him do that for majority of his career. And so I do think that that him coming off of that Achilles injury last year did affect how much the Falcons could work from under center, like in terms of how much strength he had in that foot and how much he was able to do, especially during the install of it all. And I think that personally, that was maybe even to the detriment of Michael Penix Jr.'s growth and development, that an entire install of maybe the first year of this group is like, we're going to be operating out of pistol, out of shotgun a lot, not a lot under center. And it's like, and Michael Penix didn't really do a lot of that in his college years. So it kind of became a perfect storm where you move forward with Michael Penix as the guy and as a starting quarterback, but you haven't given that enough time to develop that part of his game, time to develop, because you had to go to him sooner than you thought you would. And then you didn't feel like Kirk Cousins was healthy enough to do the under center stuff. Like, I think that there is this huge ecosphere of why the Falcons are in the situation that they are in right now at the quarterback position, and the pistol versus shotgun versus under center is kind of the avenue of which you can kind of see that most.
Before I let you go again, real quick, this one just popped into my head. I know a lot of Falcons fans are wondering. We know you're in the building every day. A lot of Falcons fans would like to hear from Arthur Blank, the owner. Is there any, whispers or anything going on at Flowery Branch about maybe the way he feels about what's going on right now, or is that all tight-lipped?
Yeah, no, not really. I think that Mr. Blank normally does his end-of-year press conference. I believe it's usually the week of the Super Bowl, and that he has been doing that for years, and I don't really think we'll see that change this year either.
Yeah, I figured as much. Just, I know a lot of fans are wondering, with another year of disappointment, maybe he would have made a statement or something of the like. All right, Torrey, appreciate it. As always, we'll check in soon. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, that is Torrey McElhaney there, senior writer and editor, as well as host for AtlantaFalcons.com. When we get back, I'm four games behind Oren, man. It's not good for you, boy. We'll try to make up for it tonight, though, leading you into what should be a fantastic Thursday night football game, Lions and Cowboys, right here on 92.9 The Game.